All right, we're recording.
Mental faculties failing.
Welcome back to Wild Sea.
Whoa!
That was really good. I liked it a lot. Nice, yeah. I am joined once again by Dylan Ballard-Nelly, Will Mercer, Sam Gulo, hey. Michael Thomas Grant, and of course, yours truly, Joe Prada, your DM.
Whoa!
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 Joe Prada, whoa! All right, here we are. Whoa!
I keep putting my sweater on.
I only like dip my arm.
I have to take it off.
All right, everybody get their walls out. Everybody, come on, get them out.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Whoa.
Guys, I am honking and bonking.
Doing something.
Oh,
fuck. You guys were able to remove the bombs out of the Morca. Luca, you rush out of the ship.
Yeah.
You see Luca just takes off on foot. And all of you are too tired to chase after him.
Oh, yeah, I'm back in the wall.
Yeah, you're fully in the wall.
I gotta heal.
You gotta heal.
I gotta heal.
You rush off to Star Witcher's dock. You go over and you see that it's the Herald of Grace is the ship. It is this very gothic-looking amalgamation of scrap and spider legs on the side of the ship. With also vicious claws that can sink into and tear apart the sea easily. You rush over to the ship, and immediately you see there's all these, like, Zalacrae crew members kind of patrolling the dock. They stop you. They stop you in tracks. Says,
no trouble here, boy.
Not trying to be trouble. I'm an ally of Star Wisher. There's bombs on your ship.
And they look at you like, what? Who are you?
I'm Luca.
Luca.
One of them turns to the other one and says, get the captain. And they rush off. You stay right there. They watch on you. You see another one come up behind you and kind of close you off from leaving. And the captain comes down. He just floats down off the ship, onto the landing bank, onto the dock, up to you, towering over you, and says, Luca, I wasn't expecting to see you so soon.
Tinwa put bombs on your ship.
Did he?
He put some bombs on our ship. Pretty sure he put them on your ship, too.
Come with me, Luca.
Okay.
And he walks out to the edge of the dock. And it's just you two standing there. He's dismissed the other crew members. And he says, Luca, if the Tinwa were to put bombs on my ship, where would they put them?
Well, he had our ship eat them. So does your ship have, like, a stomach?
No, Luca. My ship does not have a stomach. And he gestures towards the ship, as you can see.
Then maybe, like, on its belly under it?
On the underside, you say?
They had a bunch of bombs in the in the underdocks.
Let me confirm that.
And he signals over crew members, and he starts talking to the crew. And you overhear the crew saying, like, we've checked. We've checked. He's lying to you. We've checked. There are no bombs there. And he returns to you and says, Luca, my men have assured me that there are no bombs under my ship. What are you trying to do, Luca? Are you actually warning me?
Yeah.
Roll. Roll to convince him.
Instinct and sway.
Instinct and sway.
Hell yeah.
What is it? 6-5-2.
With a 6. This porcelain mask, you see it slip a little bit. And you see just this handful of spiders in the moonlight. All their eyes, you can catch just a glimmer. 1,000 eyes staring at you, looking you up and down, trying to get a read on you. And then the mask comes back up with just a snap. And he says, I trust you, Luca, that you're not going to sabotage me, and that you have my genuine interest in mind. And he turns to the crew member and says, check again. The crew members go off. They jump into the thrash. And there's a few minutes pass, and you're just standing there, and the captain has blocked you in again. And he just patiently, with his hands clasped in his chest. And after a short while, the crew members come up, and they're shocked. They have the shocked expression on their face. And they come up to the captain in hushed whispers. And the captain stands up straight, towers over you. And the muscles moves them over to you and says, Luca, you are correct. There are bombs attached to our ship. How did you know that they were there?
So, like, I know this is going to be crazy, but someone told me.
What you done today has strengthened our allyship. Thank you, Luca.
Of course, dude. We're friends now. I don't want you guys to blow up.
And he, like, in the most contorted way, places a hand on your shoulder and goes, no one has ever done such a kind gesture for me before.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Luca. You are an excellent captain.
Thank you. Thank you, Star Wisher. You're really cool, too.
Mm. And you feel some spiders kind of like crawl onto your shoulder, and they linger there for a minute before you feel the hand kind of like pull away, and they all kind of fly away on the silky thin tendrils, and they all rush back in. They say, we'll deal with these devices. I trust that you've dealt with yours.
Yeah, we're not the only ones, though. There's several other ships.
Have you warned the others?
I came here first.
Good. Let us keep this a secret between you and I.
You sure?
You saw the other captains in the meeting today. They were less than savory towards our ideas. They thought of us all as less weak-minded. Kindness goes a long way, Luca.
Yeah, I'm also really tired, I don't know. Rest. I don't know how many more people I could tell.
Rest, my child. Go back to your ship and we will be safe. Thank you for all that you've done.
Of course, buddy. Just give him a hug around the waist.
It just like a basketball that's not full enough of air. You just feel like the skin of this used to be ardent just kind of like deflate as like spiders kind of crawl out of the way.
Sorry.
That is perfectly fine. I will see you on the waves tomorrow, my friend. Best of luck to you.
You too, buddy.
So. Luca has no understanding of fear.
Kudos.
Luca's best friend is Simon.
A freak of nature. A lot of scary people.
No, what are you talking about?
But not to Luca.
Three best friends. An old woman, a horrifying mushroom monster, and literal Spider-Man.
Literal Spider-Man.
Literal. Spider-Man.
That's going to be it for you. You go back to the ship. Everybody's exhausted. That is the end of our montage. I think even Eve at this point is just looking like, I can tell you as much as I can, but I'm very, very tired. And
I'm asleep.
Yeah. I think she's told
I've been in the wall.
She's told you all that you guys need to know right now, immediately. If anything, she kind of mentions of... I don't know what they're planning on doing or why they're planning on doing it, but I know that there's a lot going on in the Wild Sea that is tied to this race. And I'll go more into detail once I'm able to gather my thoughts, but when we set out, I think this race is going to be more than just what it appears on the surface.
Well, tonight you helped us save a lot of people. You've made your captain proud.
Who's our captain?
I'm the captain.
Oh, fuck.
I can be captain, right?
Yeah. Simon is fully asleep on the side of the ship.
Look, I mean,
I just looked at
you. You weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody's too tired to fight. Your constant braiding of and Simon truly, is finally dried down.
Okay. All right.
And look, you can't train luck. So we can train everything else about him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, a lucky captain's real nice. You know, can I talk about a bit of bad luck with you?
Sure.
There were maybe 4 ships that I really, really would have liked to be on that bomb list.
Not a one of them.
Not a one of them.
Okay. Well, Venick, look at it this way. There's always tomorrow.
What are you guys talking about?
Luca comes out. He's like, got a PJs on with his polka dots.
Nothing.
Mom, Dad, what are you talking about?
Definitely has a butt flap on those PJs.
Footies. Butt flap. A hat that goes all the way down to the floor is trailing behind him.
Well, look, I've got my wings in the PJs, so they're hanging out the butt flap. It needs to be open so my wings aren't just cramped in there.
Oh, no.
Nothing but get some sleep.
Okay, good night.
Everybody goes to sleep. The day starts with trumpets blaring.
My son! My boy!
From the top of the tall shank, you hear trumpets blaring. And over the din of the trumpets, you hear the wishmakers announce,
"The race begins today!"
And that awakes everyone who isn't already awake. You hear the bustle of the dock suddenly come to life. All the stands kind of open as everybody who's closed up shop, who was in the part of the bazaar yesterday, suddenly clamors to the edge of the dock to see the race start. They're so excited. People are cheering names of all these different captains, wanting them to win. So excited to see the ships start sailing. You guys awake. The Morka awakes us, and you hear Simon kind of go like, "Are we ready to go today?"
We are ready to go today, buddy.
Ah. Excellent.
Simon, if there's a countdown, go on 2.
That's cheating.
We don't want to be here when it gets to 1.
Oh, I have an idea for that.
Oh?
Well.
Know immediately what it is.
They think we're already bombed, right?
Yeah.
What if when it goes off, we sink?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You hear a voice from above on the dock of the ship and says, "Hello? Reverend Rice, are you there? I'm here on behalf of Livery Windsor. We are allies. I've been sent to be part of your crew."
Yes.
You come up to the shop and you see this Ectus type of person, very much resembles a dandelion, mm-hmm. with their hair tied back, like all the plumes of a dandelion tied back by like a...
That's awesome.
A red tie. But instead of like coming down to just the base of the neck where you saw the captain's, his goes all the way down to the back of his neck, or gotcha. Back to his back. And he is, again, loaded with like all these long-range weapons. Mm-hmm. And like the butt of the flower is kind of there, and you see like all these different eyes there, and he's kind of speaking to you like from this non-distant place. Again, also wrapped in all these different like very colorful fabrics. Says, "My name is John Spots. Pleasure to meet you."
John...
John Spots.
Johnny on the spot?
Johnny on the spot.
It's good to meet you, Mr. Spots.
Permission to come aboard?
Absolutely. Get on here.
And he hops on, and he says, I've seen few creatures or ships like this in my past. Is this going to be all right? Is it going to be structurally sound?" And he comes in, and you see this person kind of come down to the docks, being escorted by Reverend Rice.
Yeah, something I just learned about.
Knife out.
Knife out.
Medic, it's okay.
All right, just very loud noise.
You see him kind of reach for like this makeshift rifle as he spots you coming at him with a knife. But as Rice kind of settles the situation, he kind of eases and goes, "Is he going to be a problem?"
Not as far as that. Well, not for us.
All right.
Hey.
Johnny Spots.
Vennick Wallace.
Pleasure to meet you. Tentatively shakes hands.
Yeah.
Excellent. And he kind of gets situated. He goes down to the dock. You guys get him situated. There is a small time where everybody's kind of get situated, you hear like a lot of the dock hands are unhinging all the ships. Mm-hmm. The cannon fire has ceased from the cannon to the moon. It is getting very close to the start of the race. Is there any last thing that you guys would like to resolve or talk about before we start?
Can I do a quick shopping trip?
Yeah, of course, yeah. You head on out.
Everything's closed. There's no bazaar anymore.
Okay. I mean, if I could just like look at these little ghost spore bombs, can I do just like an instinct and chthonic roll? Chthonic is your knowledge of ancient rituals and spirit knowledge and pre-V ardent stuff.
Sure. What are you trying to get out of this?
I just kind of want to see if I can get a little bit. This is like as close to like religion as he gets anymore.
Yeah.
So I just want to see like what ritual kind of thing this might feel adjacent to.
Sure. Yeah.
If I can.
Yes. Okay. I think this is a perfect time to. Yeah. Check it out.
Because a 6 and a 5.
That is a 6 and a 5. Excellent. I think you are really, this is almost like a very meditative thing for you.
Yeah.
To be in the proximity of something that is so dangerous, but also something that you have an innate knowledge and control over. I think it really puts you in your happy place.
Yeah.
I think you find some peace and some solace here. I think you're going to heal one of your aspects.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is kind of just because of the peaceful time that it is. These things have some sort of like spiritual connection to the world around it. These are not just like a docile.
This is not a tool. This is a yeah.
It's now a living culture because the fungus was living, but also like from these ancient times. I think you're able to kind of sense this want to be out in the ocean.
Yeah, this is like the best thing Jarvis the Thief has ever done.
Yeah,
is have a hand in something I make.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that gives you a lot. Anything else anybody wants to do real quick?
Regret.
I'm getting ready because as the captain of the ship, I need to be as presentable as possible.
Of course.
At the beginning of the race. So yeah. I get my nicest pair of cargo pants because it's all I own because they have a lot of pockets.
Yes.
And instead of one of my normal jean jackets, I take the nice army jacket that I found. Because it seems much nicer.
I love your aesthetic.
Yeah, and then I've noticed that a lot of captains have hats, so I'm going to take some of the moss and like growth from around Morka and try to fashion myself a captain hat out of it.
Perfect. You are able to do that successfully. No rules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are dressed as a captain. You see Luca walking around the ship kind of like parading as a captain.
You look good, buddy.
Thanks. And I also have a little list of names for the ship.
Excellent.
Would I have kept a captain's badge from any of my former misdeeds?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes.
Is there one that I don't particularly care for that I could put on his jacket?
Yes, absolutely. You tell me the name of that captain you put on his jacket. Even if it's scratched away, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's I mark off a thing, but yeah, I put a little, like, it's like all CMYK. So it looks like a pan pride flag, but with a black stripe too. And then it's got like a half circle metal piece underneath that. with a scratched out name on it, but it's on the little lapel of your jacket.
Thanks, cousin.
Go ahead and add that to your resources. And then Luca, mark a track, a 4 mark track on your sheet, which is respectable captain.
Mr. Spots.
Yes.
I have one of these, the harpoon gun.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm guessing your eyes will probably use it the best. Where on the ship do you think I should place it?
Oh. Keep it in the galley.
We won't want to set that up until we're above water. If we're going to dive, the seals have to close.
Excellent.
All right.
This brings me to an excellent point where we are going to start talking about journeys.
Because,
guys, we're about to set sail.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely didn't take us 4 months.
Definitely didn't take us
4 months. Not at all.
Wait, definitely. No, it did, though.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. So, for departure. The departure phase allows both players and Firefly to prepare the journey ahead. When getting ready to depart on a journey, you should set your destination, make any preparations you might need, and have each member of the crew choose their station. While you do this, the Firefly will create a set of journey tracks. So, the destination. Nobody heads out in the wild sea without a very good reason. Your first point of order should be to set a destination that will mark the end of your journey, usually a port or settlement of some kind, but occasionally a creature you're hunting or the ship you're aiming to meet.
The Helvetica.
So, setting a destination is easy. Where is it going to be?
Do we still have the list of stuff from...
The Sunken City, North Tree, and Big Hole.
Okay, that's what I have, too.
Yes.
I think I prefer North Tree.
North Tree first?
It'll require less backtracking.
These routes are the trade routes, the most easily accessible. You're going to see a lot of ships on these lines. These are mountain ridges, so it's not going to be very easy to traverse through them.
But I think we can skip ahead. If we dodge out of the first one, difficult first part, since we're kind of loaded up with stuff, and then we can...
And if we go under...
Cut ahead on the trade routes, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. So you guys are going to be heading north. Perfect. So you're going to go to a settlement that is known as the Northern Ridge. The Northern Ridge Wall.
The NRW.
Perfect.
And this is Big Fire, right?
That is Big Fire, yes. It is very close to the fire. In fact, some background on this settlement, because I think everybody has a fair knowledge of the sea. These settlements that surround the Big Fire kind of help contain it and keep it at bay.
Mm.
So the North Ridge Wall is one of those settlements that kind of like maintains the fire on the northwest side.
Isn't it, wouldn't that be considered like bad luck? Like looking north on the open sea is considered bad luck?
Yeah, back when they had an ocean. You know, truly, I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Oh no, that's in the book.
It's in the book
for Wild Sea because it makes you look at the giant pillars.
I see. I see.
If you do notice, there's not a lot of ports that go directly north.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we get it out of the way.
Get all that bad luck out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So you guys, that is your
while we're still strong
destination, and because you guys are taking a shortcut and you've got the charts for it. I'm going to call that a
shortcut.
3-mark journey. So I'm going to create 3 tracks here.
Okay.
Perfect. You may change destinations at any point, and we can set new journey tracks as we like. Stations. These are for optimal operation of the ship, certain stations have to be manned, but there are other positions a crew member can keep that allow them particular options or opportunities during a journey. There is at the helm, which is essential. When at the helm, you control the ship's speed and direction. Then there is on watch, which is also essential. When you are on watch, you roll to see what the ship is about to encounter as journey progresses. Then there's tending to the engine, cartographizing, and watching the weather, which are all optional. But the two that I need from you guys, who's going to be at the helm and who's going to be on watch?
Helm.
Simon's going to be on helm.
I mean, I was usually on watch whenever it was just the two of us.
But now that we have Johnny Spots. Is Johnny Spots...
Consider those to be undercrew. Undercrew is going to help you with non-essential things.
Okay, cool. I would love to do some tending.
Okay.
Tending so to the engine.
You can watch.
Tending
to the engine. All right. Luca is going to be on watch. Venik is going to be tending the engine. And what would you like to do? Cartographizing or watching the weather? Or you can just be tending to basic needs around the ship as needed.
We're going to be under, so weather's not going to be like too big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be under, so cartographizing's not going to be too big a deal.
You never know. You never know. There's a lot of ruins beneath the waves.
That's true.
There are. Don't you get, like, if you're not taking a roll, don't you get, like, a montage?
Crew members not a particular station are assumed to be busying themselves with other small tasks around the ship. So it doesn't say anything about a montage, but they can.
Right. I don't think I have, besides healing up, but I can cartographizing. That sounds the best one for our current situation.
Yeah.
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 Right. I mean, we could use more charts.
Sure.
I have no charts.
All right.
Yeah, I also have no charts. So
we're going to put you on cartography. So I'm going to make another track over here, and I'm going to make that a 2-track achievement.
Okay.
So when those tracks are filled up, you're going to get a chart. Okay. After every notable spot that you see or stop at, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to make a chart of that. And once those are filled up, you'll have a chart.
Cool.
Based on all the information that you have.
Good eat.
Perfect. And that is all that we need to get started. So we have a destination. We have everybody at the helm. Excellent.
There's only one last thing I can think of I need to do before. We've got a new crew member, John Spots. I got to see if he can hear the map.
You go up to Johnny Spots and he says, "No, lad, I cannot hear the map."
Your captain forgives you anyway.
You hear the voice of the Wishmakers.
Ladies, gentlemen,
Mr. Helios,
creatures of the Wild Sea.
Oh, that's me.
Today, we begin the final race. As the Master of Ceremonies, I wish you all the best of luck finding our trinket.
And as he says that, you hear gasps coming from the crowd. And you look out as you're peeking up above the cap, the dome that your ship is on, and you see people pointing up into the air going, "What is that? What is this?" And you see the great Leviathan rising out from the distance. You see out on the horizon the giant mile-long beast with twin real legs fly through the air like a dragon. And those with the keenest eyesight, give me a roll.
Johnny.
You want to make Johnny give a roll?
That might be
pretty absurd eyesight for me.
He's got a 6. Johnny yells out and goes, "Shite. The bastard's got a trinket round his neck." And he's like barreling down the skull.
Oh, God.
And you see the monster fly up into the sky. You hear a couple of false starts as some of the captains go, "Charge at it!" And you hear gunfire go off. You hear harpoons shooting out the direction. You start to like hear ships around you quake and tremble as the flying mechanisms start to take off and the ships start flying into the air, hovering into the air. And just as all that starts to happen, the Wishmaker says,
"On your marks, get set, race."
And all at once, there's this booming sound that surrounds you.
What is it?
As all the ships lurch at once, almost all of the ships around you, but you know for a fact that it's only half of them, start to explode into pieces, into great fiery bursts. Luckily, neither of the ships on either side of you have exploded. But you start to hear people scream. Ships are exploding. Ships that were just taking off into the air suddenly turn into a burst of fire. The sound is deafening. Your ears are ringing. The fire is starting to spread. In this instant, all these bombs that you know so clearly are made of fire are starting to spread on the Wild Sea. The Verdant Sea just ignites immediately. The Krezerin wanting so badly to combust into flames. And it does so with such a ferocity that it threatens everybody on the docks. People start screaming and yelling at the sudden shock of seeing fire. Fire out in the Wild Sea. Captain, you're at the helm. What do you do?
No, our captain's not at the helm. I'm at the helm. We dive. Immediately we dive.
Die.
We're going to get under it because it's going to have to burn its way down to us.
Excellent. Where is your ship sheath
door? Right here.
Perfect. Let me see what we got
here. We can get to a depth of 6.
Armors, seals, speed, saws, stealth, tilt. Give me a speed roll.
One die. 6.
No shit.
I'm fast as fuck, boy.
How do you do it?
Huh?
How do you do it?
Oh, cause so I'm fully connected to this thing right now. Like, yes. My entire body is basically in the wall. And that's I'm...
crazy. No, he said you couldn't do that.
No. He can't phase through. Oh, okay. He got out and put to a different wall.
Different wall. But I can essentially, like, share instincts with Morka right now.
Yes.
And so he got scared and I said... dive, because one of my mires is actually dive deeper where they can't go.
Shit. Okay, gotcha.
Awesome. So in his fear, combining with mine, because guess what? Not too great with fire being the creature I am.
Mm-mm. Neither am I.
Truly, I don't think any of us really handle fire that well.
No, I don't think anybody does. The Wild Sea is not meant for fire.
Yeah, we didn't really have much of it.
I have an Easy Bake Oven, but that's
it. It's just a light bulb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
just a light bulb.
Okay, you are able to quickly dive into the waves. Everybody feels this sudden lurch as the Morca just dives like into the waves. His big claws slides underneath the underdock and just like starts diving deep into the Wild Sea, the Thrash. Luca, you're on watch. You're standing, sitting on the tree, but there is this dome around you, I would imagine.
Correct? I think the tree comes down around it, extra vines, like, start sealing areas.
It suctions it off.
And that would be, like, the deck of a ship is up there,
yeah.
But the tree just folds down around it now.
I love that. Luca, you kind of see, because you're on watch, fire is just spreading down quickly. But you guys are able to get, like, to the bottom of it. You see a lot of the ships that didn't explode, Plucky Patties, for example.
Oh, thank God.
They are trying to get away from the mess. They are moving full steam ahead. They're not going up. They're not going down. But fire is starting to approach, like, on the heels of their ships. So because Plucky Patties is made of wood, she's in a very dangerous situation, but there's nothing that you can do to help her. There are other ships, as you see, that are not so lucky. Some that are trying to get away, but their startup is so slow that they get engulfed by flames immediately. And you start to see, like, people jumping overboard to try to, like, get back onto the metal dock where it's not going to burn down at the very least. But it's a scene to see. It's traumatic. But also, where you're at, as you're diving down, kind of escaping the fire as you do, you see that there are 4 or 5 other ships that have also dived down with you guys. All of them are heading in different directions. Perfect. You've made an escape.
Yeah, let's not head up, guys.
So because we've chosen to dive down, we need to make a pressure gauge. Because recently, this is going to date this a bit, the rules for Storm and Root, the Wild Sea expansion that deals with going into the air with a ship and going down below, have recently come out. And this details how we navigate these places.
Perfect.
There's some extra rules that now go into it.
When you started mentioning pressure gauges and saying this is going to date it a bit, recently my mind went to a completely different
thing. The Titanic.
different. Yeah. Very different.
So, that's so good.
Pressure, a natural byproduct of exploring down where the branches block the sun. Pressure is both physical and psychological problem for wild sailors and their ships as they explore the lower layers of the world. So do we have on our ship sheet a spot where how much pressure we can take on our seals?
So what we have for seals right now is we have one marked on our pressure seal and one marked on our scrubber.
Okay.
They're each 4 tracks. It says under the scrubber, depth tolerance of +2, and under the pressure seals, depth tolerance of +4. So I don't know if that means in total 6 or if they have to match.
No.
But imagine it's a total 6, right?
I think it's a total 6.
I think they add, yeah.
It's going to be a total 6. So you were able to secure some pretty good pressure gauges, which is good.
This is what the ship can do. There are many things the ship cannot.
There are many things this ship cannot do. We get a +1 armor, though, as long as Hank's on board.
Do we have any armor if Hank's not on board?
It's a very good question. Okay. I don't know if it means we have 2 with him on. I don't know how this was marked.
Hank administers the Morca's skincare routine. Oh my God, before we took off, did you name the ship?
Yeah, Morca.
Oh no.
This is going to be bad, isn't it?
I don't think we got a chance. I mean,
we're headed north on an unnamed ship.
Title of the episode.
Headed north on an unnamed ship.
I think we have a name in mind for the ship, but I don't know if we gave the name for the ship.
I gave you ample opportunity to say, hey, before we head off, what are we doing? And you got dressed up as a captain. That's what happened.
Okay.
So yeah, the ship is right now unnamed. So let's talk about pressure for a second. We're going to go over some rules because this is new to me and new for us.
Sure.
Because we're sailing, goddammit. Holy shit.
Wow.
So the pressure track is marked when a ship or crew engage with the depths of the Leviathan or come across the horror of the deeper waves. The pressure level, however, which is...
Six.
Hmm?
Which is that six?
The pressure track is six. Okay, the pressure level goes up to three.
Okay.
So when the pressure track is fully marked, pressure increases.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure tracks are marked by engaging Leviathans, leaving the ship for any reason, or engaging in stuff that keeps you down below. As we sink further and further down, the pressure is going to increase. And as the pressure increases, there's going to be different pressure effects. So for every time the pressure increases, a new effect kicks in. And then the last thing I want to explain is a snap. So instead of a twist which is when you roll doubles and something unique happens, a snap is something bad that happens. It decreases the pressure levels.
But you can choose to actively fail.
Exactly.
Like in Waffle House's phone.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Or Cracker Barrel is
Cracker Barrel is falling, yeah.
Yeah.
Affectionately known as the Waffle House. but yes. So right now, because we've dived beneath the waves, pressure gauge is at zero. And you haven't seen any Leviathans yet.
Cool.
But then the next thing that we need to talk about is traversing the waves.
Yep.
So, once you're out on the waves, the narrative relies on your choices and dice rolls to progress. Each member of the crew will take turns at the helm and on watch. You can determine the order yourself. While you're at the helm, you have direct control over the ship. You can choose one of the three options. Cut a path, forge ahead, or drop anchor. Each choice, both narrative and mechanical consequences. Cut a path. You travel at decent speed while keeping the ship and crew safe as possible. Mechanical. You mark a single box on your progress track. When the watch roll is made, you can usually choose to encounter whatever is sighted or steer clear of it without any problems. Forge ahead. Your passage across the waves is rough but swift, the roar of the engines and crack of the branches hurling your arrival. Mechanical, you can mark two boxes on your progress track. When a watch roll is made, you usually blunder straight into whatever encounter is rolled or damage your ship trying to avoid it. And then there's drop anchor, which is just basically stop, watch duties take over, and you have a montage while the ship rests. So that's that. Then on watch, the watch roll is very unique in this because basically what you're going to do, Luca, you are going to roll a d6. And on this, in the book, there's watch roll results. On a 6, there is peace. On a 5 and a 4, there is order. On a 3, 2, 1, there is nature. And then what I do, I make a secret roll over here. A roll of 6 represents a danger, free opportunity. 5 or 4 gives hazardous encounters with a useful payoff. And a 3, 2, 1 indicates that there is an immediate danger to the crew with little payoff. So that's what I'm going to be rolling for when you make your watch roll. And then you guys have an encounter. And that's when, at the helm, kind of communicates, so like, are we going to dive right into it? Are we going to avoid it? And that's when the encounter happens. With all that in mind, we currently find ourselves inside of the Morca, underneath the Thrash, just underneath the surface of the Wild Sea. We haven't dived too much deeper into it. You guys have just barely escaped the burning wreckage of Wishmaker's Isle. And you've seen some of the other captains who survived as well go off in every which direction. You were followed by two captains, both with enough distance that they do not threaten you in any kind of way, but they seem to be heading in the same direction that you are. What do we do?
As the person tending to the engine, I'm gonna do the bloody pinwolf pin. I feel like that's like a really good kind of aggressive thing to kind of like give the scent into the little soft palate and then feed it to the engine so that I'm going to overload the engine a little bit.
Before we've even done a watch roll or anything, you're going to overload the engine.
I'm saying that's what I'm going to do so that.
Okay.
Because that is my intention, there is less of a need for us to be dangerous about how we're steering or anything like
that. You are definitely so fucking ready to just stab this heart and go like, faster, faster, bitch. That's what you're saying?
I just watched an island explode with the most dangerous substance.
Yes, is all you need to say.
Just if you want to say it like I'm being unreasonable, that's fine.
I'm not saying at all. I think you're making a very good point of like, I'm ready to stab this heart to make it go fast.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I'm on watch.
You're on watch.
I was just going to take a look around and see, like, watch the ship, see if they seem to be coming at us in a menacing way or more of a we got to get moving way.
Okay. Yes, let's have you roll. I would like to build a pool. to see if...
Oh, for the what? Isn't there like a specific...
Yes.
Is there a specific role? Do I build a pool for that?
No. So what you're what you were saying is whether or not people are kind of chasing you or what they were about, that's going to be a pool.
Okay.
But as far as on watch, what that pertains to are the immediate threats and new encounters that you're going to have in the Wild Sea itself. So it's not going to pertain to things that are already happening. It's going to be a discovery.
Okay.
So we can do that. But what would you like to do first?
I think I'd, for something like this, instinct and sense, because I'm trying to judge, like, does this seem like they're coming at us or just away from the fire?
Gotcha. Absolutely. Go for a roll.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
major fail with a twist.
Two
and two ones.
And two ones.
The luck had to run out.
That is a disaster. We haven't had a disaster all day.
To be fair, I am not good with fire, and there is fire above us.
Well, also, we are heading north in an unnamed ship, and I think our luck is catching up to us.
Yes.
The ships are behind you, and they're a far distance away. And as you're looking, you're trying to see, like, where they're going, what direction they're heading in. But the darkness of the eaves suddenly turns sour in such that spores start filling up your sights. You guys sail into a spore cloud, and before you're even able to give any kind of warning, you lose sight of the ships behind you. Because you're on watch and because you weren't prepared of what was happening ahead of you, yep, you're going to take some spores to the face. Do you have any immunities to that?
My prismatic antenna allows me to see clearly without light and through clouds of dust and spores.
Okay.
And I do have... My thick fur, I'm weak to flame, but I resist bad air and airborne spores. So I'm not immune to it, but I have a bit of resistance to it.
Okay. With a failure, though, you just lose sight of them. I think they just kind of go off in directions, and you can't track them anymore. And then you're going to take 2 toxin damage because of the spores around you, but because of your resistance, you reduce that one by 1.
Is this a mark or a burn?
This is going to be a mark.
Mark, okay.
So everything that you tried to do, you failed at, and then you also got hurt. But then there's a twist because you got 2 ones.
I don't know. I kind of want him to have
he's just blind.
A foreboding whisper.
Yeah.
Watch out for spores.
Either spores, bud.
Run.
Like
run.
Yeah. like a thing that just says run. A whisper that just says run.
Okay. A whisper that just says run.
I
might build on that a little bit. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything else? Any other twists that they want to add to Luca's failure?
I'm drawing a blank here.
Okay. I like the whisper. We're going to go with the whisper.
Let's go with the whisper.
You inhale the spores, and because you're resistant to them, you're able to kind of catch some echoes of a memory that is captured within the spores themselves, and it turns into a whisper within you. And it is, run. Get help. That is the whisper that you obtain. And also,
we may want to get out of these spores.
You duck back down into the shell, because I think you were definitely out of the scrubber shell itself and kind of peeking around like, where do they go above the branches? And that's why you got caught. But you kind of go back down and the scrubbers are working. So now, with that, let us make our watch roll. So go ahead and go on watch.
Right, and this is just 1d6.
This is going to be 1d6. And what did you get?
2.
You got a 2.
It's not good.
That's going to be nature. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be good.
Oh, okay. So I roll for like the type of thing
exactly.
It is, and you roll for whether or not it's good or bad.
Cool. And at helm, at what speed are we going? Because you have 3 options. You can cut a path, which is just normal speed. You can forge ahead, which goes a little bit quicker, or you can drop anchor and just completely stop.
Let's be real. We would have been forging ahead after the fire.
Okay. So we're going to mark 2 boxes on our path here.
Let's be real.
Well, the thing about
I know it's bad.
Okay.
I know this is a bad call.
No.
But we would have been sprinting from fire if we're being honest with ourselves.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I'm going to mark 2 because forging ahead marks 2.
We wouldn't have been like, let's casual pace it.
No. We saw that fire. We made like Frankenstein's monster and
100%.
We sure did.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, from a narrative, purely auditory perspective, that did a lot of storytelling.
All right. Now, nobody look at the dice that I'm about to roll. Okay, perfect. I have rolled a die. And because it's nature, here's what happens. Luke is on watch.
Sorry.
They regain themselves, regain all their spores, and they notice something out in the distance. There's this great tremble of leaves and branches that suddenly like appears in the upcoming distance. You're heading straight towards it. You think it's a leviathan at first, a great beast that walks and crawls and flies through the wild sea. But upon closer inspection, you see that it's not one large beast,
no,
but a gathering of smaller beasts. You look closely, trying to catch what this giant mass is, and you see glimpses of these bursts of uncanny movement. These long, twindly creatures with coarse fur and smooth skin underneath. And then you hear it. You hear the sharp impacts of pins, thousands of them, impacting individual branches like needles, like woodpeckers. A wave of them with such ferocity that you can feel it in your chest. But you don't have much time to react to it because you're heading straight into this giant entanglement of
pinwolves?
Pinwolves.
Because when you forge ahead, you blunder straight into whatever encounter is rolled.
Yes.
Or damage your ship trying to avoid it. So
yeah,
we can do that.
So what are we doing, boys?
A pinwolf storm.
Run them over.
It.
Actually, yep. You can mark an additional box on the journey, or you can increase impact on a roll to take advantage of the ship's temporary power or speed.
Yeah, I think in this current situation, I promised Morka food on the road.
Okay.
I think it can howl and keep going.
And then, and we also have on the front of our ship a giant spike.
We do have a giant spike.
Giant spike.
Yeah, he's got the giant Norwal spike on the front.
That we gave him.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's right. Fuck you guys.
So, to be fair, that'll only take care of a section of it.
Yeah. Okay. You charge through it?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think there's another option at this point.
Okay. How do we want to do this? Do we want to roll armor? Do we want to roll speed? Or do you want to roll sauce?
Is our armor one or two, buddy?
I'm pretty sure these initial marks were just before we had, like...
Got it, armor.
We're going to roll armor?
Yep.
To just plow through it?
It is by far our best option of those three.
Okay, and we're going to use the speed from overcharging the engines. You're going to prod at the heart to make it go faster to help this roll?
Yeah.
All right. So this is going to be high impact. Roll for it.
Easy peasy.
Holy shit. There's a lot of ones coming up, guys. But that's a four. That's a four and a one. It is still a conflict. You're seeing through just the Morka's eyes, and you see this large gathering of like small predators that the Morka can take out with ease individually. You ram through this giant swarm of pinwolves, and you don't take any damage whatsoever. You're able to like plow through it. Definitely break up the group as you do. And you're going so fast that it kind of leaves a wake in this giant like swarm of pinwolves. You feel successful. You feel triumph. And you kind of like feel like this giddy feeling within yourself. But you feel the orca kind of like overtake this foreboding feeling, knowing like that wasn't a good idea. Because now on watch, you see all these pinwolves are now chasing after this large predator that they think is going to be a fantastic meal for them.
Pinwolf storm is coming again.
So now, instead of pinwolf storm going away, it is now locked onto you. You are now being chased by pinwolves.
Man, fours and fives often feel like failures.
Yeah. No, they're just fun for me, guys. And they're just fun for me. All right, so you guys survived the bash through, but you're now being pursued by pinwolves. How are we going to deal with this?
Pursued by pinwolves.
That's good. This is an everybody thing. I know I'm kind of mostly talking to Onwatch and at the helm, but if you guys at any point want to kind of step out and kind of go like, I'm going to start taking out pinwolves manually with my harpoon gun, or I'm going to say like, I'm going to get the undercrew to kind of get together, Hank or...
John?
Huh? Yeah, if we can get him on like...
Sniping?
Yeah, sniping on the rear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have an idea of something I want to try.
Yeah, what do you got?
This would require me to pop out of the seal for a second.
Mm-hmm. There are spores outside. We have established that.
I've established that. I'm a little resistant to them. What I was going to try to do is turn on my Walkman and not quite plug in my thing.
Mm-hmm.
so you get that like screeching resonance and just spread my wings and just kind of like send a feedback sound through it to try to just
disperse it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Go ahead and build that pool. What's it going to be?
Sharps, because this is an idea I had. And
wait, one of your edges is sharps?
Yeah.
One of your edges is being smart?
Yeah.
What? I think
sharps isn't just smart.
Yeah, lucky.
Sharps is logic, wit, and planning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's displayed all of those, Joe.
He's displayed all of those really well.
Not necessarily the best way, but I have displayed them.
I think
not see his captain badge?
I'm going to do sharps and sway, because sway can be threatened.
Sharps and sway.
Sway it's got here is like convince, argue, threaten.
Yeah, we're going to make that threaten.
Okay.
Cool. What's that pool?
That's three.
That's three? Okay, and because of the spores, I'm going to make a cut, because you're going to have to concentrate on not being poisoned.
Okay.
All right, make a roll. This is when it gets interesting, guys. Almost.
6, 5, 3.
Oh.
So that's a 5 total.
Yeah, we're going to cut that 6.
Damn.
They got a 5. That is a conflict. That would have been a perfect success, but unfortunately it was cut. You are able to scare the pinwolves. I think the noise that you make, you've done this before, where like predators who aren't very like intelligent, you stand to the top of Morka, and because Morka is already
I did it against myself?
You've done it to you, yes.
Sharps? That's how I knew it would work, though.
Yeah, this scares me. this scares babies. It must. You stand out with your wings outstretched, you make the noise, and you can see that the pinwolves are actively terrified. So they kind of stand back. You saw that the wolves were about to kind of like start nipping at the tail end of the Morka, but they back off, they stand back, but they regroup. You haven't entirely shaken them yet. But as you're standing just outside of the scrubber shell, you take in more of these spores. And rather than take damage, you're starting to hear screaming in your ears. You hear people dying to these spores. Souls, ghosts that have been trapped in these plants before that have succumbed to these dangerous plants, and they're yelling at you, "What are you doing? Get out of here! Get! Flee now!" You are going to activate one of your mires. Mires are things that make role-playing very difficult.
Yes.
In here. And we all have a set of preordained mires that we all have on our sheets, things that scare or terrify or that will kind of put our character in a funk. Myers, their mechanical abilities, they cut rolls in situations related to them. But in this case, you're going to activate a Myer. What are your Myers that you have?
The three Myers I have are wings are very delicate, silence is unnerving, and no one is listening.
I think it's going to go no one is listening.
Because I didn't listen.
Do we all have three Myers?
Yes, we should.
I have two, so I need to come up with a second.
Your mind is much too powerful.
Yeah.
It's too strong.
No, when your mind is affected, it will always be one of two things.
You okay. Have fight and flight on there.
Yeah, weird.
That's actually very scary for this guy to have only fight or flight as options.
So the pinwolves are scared right now. They're not attacking as they were planning on. But one of your crewmates just got a mire. That is what's currently going on.
But the conflict is there's other pinwolves ahead of us.
There's no longer ahead of you.
That's a good key.
Get out of here.
anytime there's a conflict, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, after that happened, I probably packed back down under the scrubbers back into the ship and just, we should really get out of here. This isn't a good place, guys.
Yes. That's a good reaction. Yes.
I'm not listening, so.
Cool.
On second thought, let's not go here. Camelot's a rather silly place.
What do you guys want to do? What's the next thing that you guys would like to do?
I want to be helping Johnny. Helping John.
John Spot?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would also like to help John Spot.
Okay, you guys want to help Johnny on the spot?
Yes, because I only have a melee weapon. I don't have anything to. We don't have weapons aboard the ship.
Okay,
we have a harpoon.
We do have a harpoon.
Yes, but like not for like individuals.
Gotcha.
I have a modified sling hammer that is my slinky fists.
Okay,
which can do long range blunt damage.
Gotcha.
So I don't know how far long range is.
We can make it work.
Okay, cool.
The ship is moving currently. So there is a little bit of danger of that. It's not going to be an accurate target.
That's okay.
We're also moving pretty quick.
Pretty quick. It's gonna be silly. All right. So yeah, Johnny on the spot. He is at the very back end where like the dome meets what is like left of the Morca on the very back end. And he's taking his sniper and is making pot shots at as many pinwheels as possible. I'm going to make a roll for that. We're going to make it a high impact. What do we got? We got two fours, a three.
Two fours, two threes, and a one.
Okay. He's doing an okay job. With every pinwolf that he's taking out, another one kind of seems replacement. There's a lot of fucking pinwolves in this. Mm-hmm. You guys really ran into it. We rolled as low as we could. I need you to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
So, how do you guys want to help? And you want to punch?
Yeah, I can. I'm going to try to punch them.
All right. Give me a punch. I'm going to cut it just because we are moving.
All right. Teeth break?
Teeth break.
And I don't
you
get...
Do.
Let's take a teeth break.
I can do long-range blunt damage. I don't get to add anything to that because it's part of my aspects.
That's just the aspect, yeah.
Just the aspect, okay.
If you had a resource and you want to say, like, hey, I got my poison stick, I'm going to hold my poison stick and punch somebody.
What do I look like, Fennec?
He does have a lot of... You can ask him. He's right there.
No, it's fine.
All right.
No, I trust. And we're cutting?
We're cutting what?
Don't need it.
Fine, six.
Two sixes.
Woo!
Got it, baby.
So by cutting one of those sixes, it means that it's no longer having
a twist.
It's still a twist.
It is still a twist because it is a double. We just, when cutting, we only talk about
the second lowest.
The result.
Or the second highest, I guess.
Yeah, Ryze is just going to put his fucking Rock'em Sock'ems together and go for like a big, like, as far back as he can reach and then swing around so he gets maximum momentum out of that swing.
Ooh, yeah, I think the twist is just increasing impact on it.
Yeah?
I think the twist is he impacts so deeply that his fists get in it and it comes back so we have a corpse to dissect and or eat.
You know what? I'm going to do a mix of both. I think when you do this big swing, like, it is comically... Like, your hands are huge now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're able to take out a big swarm of them. Like, you bop heads like, bop, 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 bop. But you're one of the larger ones, one of the larger pinwolves that you can tell is the alpha, one of the alphas.
Sure.
You're able to get, like, a solid slam on. And you're able, like, it catches, like, its bottom half of the jaw, one of its, like, sharp teeth just clings onto one of your fists as it gets knocked out by the sheer force of it, and you bring it back, and you bring this alpha back to you.
Great.
This group has thinned out because you've taken out one of its, like, main...
Big guys.
One of its big guys. There is still a small group left. I've been keeping track of a track in my head. I promise I have. Cool. A secret track. Don't worry about that.
Escape the pinwolves.
Escape the pinwolves.
A secret tent track.
Keep with track.
There are still a handful of pinwolves chasing you that could still do damage to the ship. And in fact, you guys have all taken a turn. I'm going to make the pinwolves take a turn.
Nah.
Hey, fuck you. And then we're going to hop over to Will because he hasn't had that moment yet.
What?
The pinwolves use their legendary action.
Yes.
To resist any bludgeoning damage.
Oh.
Oh, beans.
Oh, buddy. Oh, beans.
The pinwolves, they, now that the horde of them has shrunk, they feel a little bit more inspired to act more swiftly and approach more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So this small group of pinwolves that is stuck, they swarm around the Morca. They pick up their speed because they're a little bit quicker. And then they start to walk on the tail of the Morca, trying to attack its limbs, mm-hmm. the ones that it's crawling through the wild sea with their sharp pins
mm-hmm.
On their feet to try to slow it down, try to make the Morca stop. We're going to have to roll for armor yet again.
Shit, they re-racked.
Come on, boys.
Easy. Easy.
Five and a four. Excellent. The Morca does not slow down. The Morca, you do hear it cry out in pain. Oh! Your armors are going to take a
a mark. So your armor is going to be reduced by one.
Okay. Amen.
Excellent. That was the Pinwolf's turn. They are now on either side of the morgue, on either side of your ship, now flanking you.
Mm-hmm.
Simon, we haven't heard from you in a minute. What are you doing?
How many of these things are there out there?
Do
a barrel roll. Do a barrel roll.
I would say that there's probably about a dozen left.
Are any of them look alpha-y?
One.
Spear the alpha.
You're going to spear the alpha?
Yes.
All right. You run up, you detach yourself from the wall, and you run out.
Oh no,
he's going to try to turn Morka to
spear. I'm having Morka.
Oh!
One.
Perfect. Excellent. Let's make a... what would you like to be? Because I know we got really good tilt, right?
Yeah, I mean, tilt.
Very good.
Being able to be at speed and turn around, that's
yeah,
tilt.
That's
going to
be
sure.
a tilt.
Yeah.
We're going to tilt it.
And I'm going to make this high impact.
Hell yeah.
Easy peasy, dude.
Easy peasy.
There it
six.
Is.
Six.
Is that a six?
Yeah, six.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Six with a high impact.
You've spent so much time with Morka that you're able... You can live as Morka. You've done that for like months at a time.
Oh, yeah.
You're drift compatible.
You're very drift compatible. Morka, like in a seamless move, you guys don't even feel it because it like does not slow pace, does not move full body. It is just the head going... and piercing the alpha Pinwolf perfectly in the middle of it. It rises and screeches as the pain, and then Morka just grinds it against the...
Can Morka shake it off and then eat in one?
Oh, absolutely.
Like do a head flip to knock it off the horn and then swallow?
Morka breaches the air for just a minute, knocks the head back, the Pinwolf goes flying. Morka catches it and then dives back into the wave. The remaining Pinwolves, not only shaken off by the sudden jump, but also terrified at the sudden like mark of predatory dominance that the Morka has just displayed. Morka. They disperse. You are no longer being chased by Pinwolves.
Wonderful.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah.
You had a successful encounter.
First encounter on the sea.
Wow.
We really do need to move, though. This is a bad place.
Thank you for listening. Check us out online at roleplaygamepod.com, where you can find links to our socials and all of our other episodes. Please consider supporting us at patreon.com/RPGPOD. Again, that's roleplaygamepod.com and patreon.com/RPGPOD. Thank you again for listening.